Graham, Dan, great to have you on the podcast for this week's Red Robin Podcast Weekly. Like we always say, it's never dull, is it, supporting Hull Kingston Rovers? And we've got a huge game ahead of us, our round 18 Super League fixture against our bitter rivals, Hull FC, at a sold-out Craven Park on Sunday. But we go into that game on the back of a bit of a hiding by the Lee Leopards. 34 points to 4, defeat, 22-0 at half-time. Graham, Michael, who set the game by kicking it out on the full, and we never seemed to recover from that moment.
Yeah, it wasn't an ideal start. It was a bad day at the office all round for everybody, I think. Yeah, we let Lee get too far in front of us to make any impact in the game. We were behind the eight ball from the off, as you say, with the kick out straight away. Gives them possession, and you don't need to encourage teams like Lee, who are playing really, really well, possibly one of the form teams in the comp at the minute, and a really good league position. And we know how they play, and for us to be able to just hand them the opportunities on a platter, yeah, wasn't the best start. And then before we know it, it's 16-0, 22-0, whatever, half-time. No chance. You've got no chance of coming back from that against a decent team like Lee.
Yeah, Dan, we started off with Zenon at fullback, Yaha on the right wing. Tom Opacic partnered him. SKD and Hall out on the left. Mikey Lewis and Milnes in the halfbacks. Luckily, and King with the starting props, with Jez Litton, the starting hooker. Dean Hadley, Kane Lynette in the second row. Elliot Minchella at loose forward and on the bench. Matty Parcell, Reese Kennedy, Matty Staughton and Yusuf Aydin. When you look at that team and you compare it to Lee's, I know it's all on paper because Lee are very good at the moment and one of the form sides. But when you look at that side, that looked very competitive to me. And the scoreline, you know, didn't seem to reflect the capabilities of that team that was named.
Yeah, I mean, it's more or less the same team what we've had from the Salford game and the Wakey game. So not much change there, but it's looking at it on paper. You look at the squad numbers that we had out, and Lee, I think they were only missing the number 12, like Kai O'Donnell. That's all they were missing. The thing that they've managed to do throughout the season, it's probably why they sat where they were, is have the continuity of the players. They've not had any injuries, suspensions. They just seem to have whizzed through. And like Graham said, when start of the game, you can't let them. Willie Peters was on Sky Sports before the game, wasn't he? And he's saying, we control the ruck, we can control Lee. We just didn't, did we? We just let them run away. And like Graham said, you lose Mikey Lewis early on, and we're two tries down within the first 5-10 minutes. It's a mountain to climb. We needed to be in the arm wrestle for the first 20 minutes to half hour, at least, and to kick on from there.
Yeah, it was a poor opening start, wasn't it? And I think it was 16-0 down after the first quarter. And from there, we just never seemed to be getting back into it, Graham. The game looked gone with what, only 20-odd minutes gone. And Rovers, for whatever reason, could just not get a foothold in the game. But is that credit to Lee, Graham, for the fact that their intensity levels were much higher than ours? Their aggression was more than what ours was, which is disappointing, really, isn't it? Because they're the basics of the game. They're the free stuff that you can do. You know, you'd have to train for that. That's what should be, you know, you bring into every game. And to be outfought and easily outfought was, for me, really disappointing to see.
Yeah, I completely agree, John. It was disappointing to see. It's not what we've been used to. And the whole performance stood out like a sore thumb over the course of the 17, 18 rounds or so, wherever we are now, as a really poor performance and very unlike us from what we've been dished up. I won't say it was a surprise of how Lee played, because we know they play like that. It's no secret. They play fast, they play organised, and they're a threat. And we just didn't seem to have any answers to that. And like Dan said there, we've had a relatively settled team in the last few weeks. And there's no inkling that type of performance was on the cards. It was just completely out of character for us. And like you say, those basics... I think the disappointing thing for me is all through the journey of pre-season and now, Willie Peters was talking about world-class efforts and attitudes, etc. And I think that was one game where that mantra, that ethos just fell apart. Because like you say, you shouldn't need to to be reminding yourself of, come on, we've got to do a proper job here when it comes to the basics of the game. They're the givens. It's the fine detail and finesse that you need to be polishing up. So yeah, that was disappointing. It appeared that any time they wanted to come forward and get through as they could do, which again in recent weeks has been tightened up defensively. So yeah, it feels like a couple of steps gone backwards after recent improvements against Salford and Wirky.
Yeah, Dan, you mentioned previously about the amount of players Lee have got in their side who have played every game this season. I think Sky showed a stat before kickoff, and I think Lee have the most players in Super League who have played every game for their side. I think they're up to, I think it was eight or nine or ten players. Rovers were second bottom with only two players. Mikey Lewis and Jez Litton are the only two players who have played every game for the Robins this season. Jez Litton started at hooker. Tough night for Jez, tough night for everybody in the red and white of all Kingston Rovers. But from what I've seen when Jez Litton starts for the Robins, it just doesn't seem to have the same impact as Matty Parcell does. And we seem to miss out on his impact play by him starting.
Yeah, it's a bit of a strange one, really, because Jez Litton was always sort of used as that little bit of extra pace when they're starting to tire in the second half. He brings them on and goes with the same as Tony Smith used to like doing with the two hookers. Bit of pace and it just against a tired defence. I just think it's just very strange that he keeps starting Jez Litton over Parcell. You don't know if Parcell's carrying a little knock or something that we don't know about. But yeah, I think it was probably one of his worst games in a Rovers shirt, Jez Litton. Not the only one, not singling him out. I think there was quite a few that really, I don't think anybody apart from, for me, Reece Kennedy and probably Matty Staunton could put their hand up and say they played all right. Yeah, apart from that, you can't really pick anybody, can you? I think it was just one to forget, put in the past and move on.
Yeah. The only thing that's worrying for me, Graham, and when we're being beaten previously this season, we've been in the arm wrestle, we've been in the game, we've had opportunities to win it and you know, for whatever reason, we've given up that opportunity. The performance against Catalan, this game, you know, quite easily beaten, heavily beaten. And we seem to be coming away from the whole KR way, what Willie Peters keeps talking about, you know, the style of play that he wants to impose on the side. We seem to be coming away from that at a worrying time of the season. And this fixture, this defeat to Lee, just highlighted how far away we are from what Willie Peters would have set him out to play like.
Yeah, absolutely. And I talked a couple of weeks ago about you can't go 27 rounds of Super League playing at that really high level that we've seen. It just doesn't happen like that. So, look, whether it's a part of the season where they're building towards another attack on the last few weeks of the season to try and push for that place, something's got to start soon, because if all of a sudden we go into a little rut again of backing up this the last defeat, sorry, with another couple more in upcoming games, all of a sudden the other teams above us are going to pull 2, 4, 6, 8 points away from us, and it's going to be gone to do that. So I think it's a really crucial game on Sunday. And you know, going back to your point, it is coming into that business end of the season. We do need to be starting to think about fighting for those top six places if we've got any ambition. And that was always the goal, I think, from the club, the management, the team, pre-season was to attack that. And I think we got that feeling in the first few weeks that yeah, we are on the right track to progress, and we are seeing progression from last season. And then all of a sudden we hit that four game losing streak. We just had another bump, and let's hope it is a bump. But sometimes you need within rugby, we've seen it every other week, really, where I won't say this was a shock result, but the manner of performance was a shock performance. But then all of a sudden, the team who put that in can really kickstart and put a run of games together. So I'm hoping, on a positive point of view, that performance was a one-off. And one of you just mentioned about putting that game to bed, and yeah, you do the analysis and look, it's gone, been a gone. Now there's absolutely nothing we can do about it. But what we can affect is the way we perform, our attitude, etc. this week, and the way we perform on Sunday in the next game. So that's for me is where I hope we're at, and I hope there's no hangover from it. only a positive one, in that there's almost like a redemption of that performance, and showing them, you know, in front of the Sky cameras, that was not the Hulk AR that we know and love. Let's put that right on Sunday with a much improved performance across the park.
Yeah, well, there's no better time to do it. Dan, I mean, we can't not talk about Mikey Lewis. Probably, I don't know, unfairly singled out, because he wasn't the only one who didn't have a great game against Lee. Obviously, though, he's our star player almost. He's the one that we look to make things happen, that bit of spark. We already mentioned his kick out on the full, the very first kick, and then the sin bin. I mean, fantastic sliding tackle. I'm sure there'll be some football teams looking at that, because he slid in. It wasn't until they did the long angle, was it, that Sky showed. You saw how far he actually did slide. And interestingly, his sin binning wasn't as a result of the slide. It was because he stopped the lead player from being able to restart the game. A crazy decision, some people think. I mean, Willie Peters said about the yellow card, I had to have a better look at it. I only saw him slide, but Mikey has to learn. There's been a couple this year where he could have got 10, and he did tonight. A good way to learn is getting sin-binned and watching your team concede two tries. It's a play he won't be happy with. Jordan Abdul sort of called him out a little bit after the game, saying he needs to learn from it. A number of supporters on social media saying, look, he really does need to learn from this. What do you think, Dan, about Mikey Lewis's performance and what he needs to do next?
Yeah, like you say, with that slide tackle, I was straight on defending him. You know, he's come on, he slipped. It's a wet surface. You want to laugh time that they actually showed that angle, though, was it? And you sort of go, oh, right, that's a bit naughty. That he could have easily gone for that. I think Abdul was wrong to call him out on Sky. I think that's the sort of thing. Get back on the team bus and point a finger in his face and start shouting at him all you want there, calling him daft and all that, but you don't do it on telly. It makes us look. He called him amateur and petulant, didn't he?
Yeah.
You can call him that to his face. Don't call him on Sky. It makes us look amateur, doesn't it? It can't do anything for his confidence. He does need a kick up the backside. You know, be the cheeky little halfback. I saw people saying about squirting water. I think was it against Salford, squirting water at Tyler Dupree and whatnot. Yeah, it's funny that, isn't he? He's not going to get sent off for it. Ruffling somebody's head, you know, it's part of the game, and it wind the opposition up, but don't take it too far. Be the cheeky halfback, but don't take it too far. That's going to cost the team, because like you say, when Willie Peters said, sorry, seeing us concede two tries while he was off the pitch, the Sky cameras kept zooming in on him. You'll have seen that on the big screen. He'll have felt the right Muppet, won't he, for that. And maybe that's what he needs. Maybe he needs a bit of criticism rather than everybody blowing smoke up his backside every week, even if he doesn't perform. Maybe he needs that. Come on, you're a good player. Let's just cut this nonsense out of your game. And let's. What we don't want him to do is turn into a Jake Connor, do you? Whereas he concentrates more on being a shithouse than being a rugby player. That's what we don't want from Mikey Lewis, because he's 22 years old. There's time there for him to develop, and he just needs to get his head in the game now, doesn't he?
Yeah, Graham, he celebrated his birthday yesterday. He's no doubt going to have a long career in the game. And hey, this might be the moment he looks back on and goes, do you know what? I did need that kick up the ass. You know, he's still raw. He's a young talent. He's got a lot of it. He carries a lot of weight on his shoulders, expectation. Not least probably what he puts on himself to perform well. I agree with Dan. I don't think John and Abdul needed to do that live on TV. I think, yeah, he's there to be the pundit. He's got a job to do. But also, he's a teammate, and he wants to be in the sheds with them boys. So you can't sort of call him out there if you're not going to go and do it behind closed doors. And that's probably where it should have been done, behind closed doors. I noticed Mikey went to France at the weekend, whether it was to escape some of the heat or whether it was pre-planned, I'm not sure, but he was over in Nice, so hope he had a great time and he's come back refreshed, because Graham, we've got a huge game on Sunday, and this is a great opportunity for him to right some wrongs.
Yeah, absolutely. Everything you said there, John, a young quality player, absolutely, we know that, that's why we love him. Flaws in his game, yes, I think Dan's highlighted there that this is potentially one of them of playing up to that line, but not necessarily needing to step over it to impose himself on the game. He showed with his try, albeit with 5 minutes to go, whatever, that's what we want to see out of him. But his actions initially, whilst he didn't cost us the game, it set us off on the wrong footing from minute one, and we ultimately conceded a couple of tries within that period. So his action has a consequence of letting us, you know, teammates down, the game plan going out the window of this is what we want to do to try and impose ourselves on the game. All that's ripped up because all of a sudden we're two tries down and staring down the barrel after 15, 20 minutes. So it then was, you know, was a catalyst for inviting Lee further on. They don't, like I said, they don't need any second invitations. Once they have that momentum with them, even when he comes back on, we're still conceding points and tries. So it affects psychologically everybody else. There was no need for it to happen there. It's much better for us when he's on the field rather than sat in the stands. So we want to see the right Mikey Lewis, the good Mikey Lewis that we all know and love. And, you know, we've talked about it a couple of times this season, and I hope it's just not something that is part of his game permanently, because ultimately, like you say, we'll get himself into trouble with it. He's already starting to put a target on his back by riling players up the wrong way, and that can only mean one thing, is that somebody one day is going to gun for him and potentially put it out of action for us for a while. Play the game in the right way, obviously, but we want to see Mikey with ball in hand, doing his stuff, you know, feeding others, scoring points for us. That's where we want to see him. And like you say, thankfully escaping any ban this week, which we've ruled him out of the derby. And yeah, he's got now the perfect opportunity. He had a pretty good derby early on in the season. He's had a pretty good record against the black and whites over the last couple of seasons in terms of his try scoring. Let's get his head back in the game, hopefully after that resting weekend where he was away, cleared all that out, Monday morning, back to it, preparing for the game on Sunday. Let's hope it's a positive impact in the next.
Yeah, and he is, let's not forget, under the tutelage of one of the best halfbacks that's ever graced Super League, Rugby League even. Willie Peters, of course, a former halfback himself, so he's in and around people who've got experience in the game who are going to be able to guide him. I suppose when he goes over the whitewash, that's where they're unable to influence him, and it's what goes on between his ears, which you know they can't always coach and predict. And you almost need to leave that 20%. You know, you can coach him 80%, but leave him that 20% to make the on-field calls and decisions. And thankfully, the majority of the time, it pays off. But he could play so close to the line that there's going to be times when it doesn't. And, hey, let's hope he's had that brain fart moment. It's out the window now. And on Sunday, we see a performance which is based on him just playing rugby league, and it's not based on anything else. A moment in the game which probably didn't have any bearing on the final result whatsoever, but what's your view on penalty tries?
I think that, to be clear, that he's going to get it down. I think it's very lazy. Was it Kendall, the video ref? I think that's very lazy of him. I think you sort of look at it and go, was Zenon going to get there? Yeah, probably not, maybe not, but there's that maybe. It's not a penalty try, is it? Because there's always that doubt. Was he going to ground the ball? You know.
No, and to be fair, it was a bit of a nonsense going up to the video referee, really, because I think in the laws of the game, that state that it's in the referee's opinion that he was going to score a try. So it's very hard if he sends it up as a try for the video referee to then, you know, unless there's something wrong, that you know, an offside or something, which I would state, it did not look like that ball went the full 10 when they did the dropout either, but they seemed to scare over that. Yeah. But there's, for me, just watching that, you know, we've seen a few either 8-point tries scored this season or penalty tries awarded. It seems to have been more prevalent this season. But when you look at that try, you know, you are scratching your head to say, can you 100% say who's going to score that? And you know, like I say, it didn't have any bearing on the game, but it just sets a dangerous precedent going forward for future fixtures where it could come back and bite you at a time when you really don't want it to.
Yeah, because, I mean, we got off quite lightly, really, didn't we? Because if he'd have ruled it out, he's got to give Matt Parcell a yellow card, hasn't he? And that probably opens up another gap in the line. You might have just taken it on the chin at that point, aren't you? I mean, the game had gone, hadn't it, like you say. But I just found it lazy from the video ref, surely he needs to be looking Kendall and going, exercising his common sense. Yeah, he could have got there, so it's not a penalty try. I think he's just gone with the easy option, hasn't he? The easy way out on that one.
Yeah. Graham, another key moment during the game, I suppose, was the Elliot Minchella injury. He's been fantastic so far this season. Worrying injury. Obviously, as we record this, we don't know what the squad news is for Sunday's game. But if Elliot Minchella doesn't make it, he's going to be a huge miss for the Robins on Sunday.
Yeah, I think this season, I think he's one of those players who's consistently stepped up with performance levels at a really high standard. And if he's, you know, out of action for us, like you say, we don't know at this particular point in time when we're recording whether he is or he isn't. But I think I read that Willie Peter said he was touch and go for it. So the only saving grace, I think, is that we've got a game right at the back end of the week, so we could squeeze as much time as possible to determine whether he is fit enough to play. But yeah, I think if he isn't, then it will leave a big hole in the squad because of the work rate that he gets through, the amount of tackles, he's been running with purpose, etc. So yeah, I don't think there's a ready-made replacement who can offer the same qualities that Mini brings. But yeah, if he's not there, look, it's an opportunity for somebody else. We'll have to adapt a game plan around that. But if he is, then let's hope it's one of those where he is fully fit and not carrying a knock and ultimately does himself a mischief during the game on Sunday, and then he's putting himself out for much longer than necessary. So again, coaching staff, medical team will be all over that this week, no doubt, giving him every opportunity. As I say, we've got till what would be Friday lunchtime, what would to name a squad. So that's every possible opportunity to see how he's going this week, get any treatment that he needs this week, and then make a call as to whether he's in the match day squad or not. And if he is, great. Let's hope he's fit and raring to go. If not, then look, somebody else needs to step up and do as good a job as Minchella has been for us.
Yeah, Dan, what have you made of Elliot Minchella so far this season?
Been outstanding, and he's been one of the standout players. I mean, first couple of games, I think he was a bit hit and miss, wasn't he? I think Willie Peters hooked him a couple of times in them first couple of games. He was obviously taking that on the chin and just sort of going, right, let's just get my head down here. And he's been outstanding, hasn't he? Probably one of the best loose forwards in the league this season. But as Graham says, we need to make sure he's 100% right. Let's just remember that this is, as you don't want to really label it, it's just another game in the season. If he's going to be 50-50 and he's going to pick up another knock and he's going to be out for 3 to 4 weeks, we lose him for the semi-final and we lose him for Leeds and Cass, which are winnable games as well. We need to be thinking about, it's not a cup final, it's a big game, but we need to be looking at players that are 50-50. What, we don't need to risk them. This game doesn't define our season. We can lose this game and still go on to make the top six. We need to, in my opinion, not be risking players that are not fit to play. We don't want to be risking further injuries because it's just what we can't afford at the present, isn't it?
Yeah, and Graham, another player who potentially could be making his return, who could be playing in the derby and making his return from injury, is Ethan Ryan. A much speedier recovery than first anticipated from his broken jaw. Talk that he's going to be in the squad for Friday. Now, with the news that Zenon and Yaha have gone back to the Catalan Dragons, they've played the last games for the Robins. It does leave two positions there to be filled. Jack Walker's, of course, is there. We've got Lewis Senior, who's played on the right wing. Throw Ethan Ryan into the mix, and then you've got three players vying for two positions. Like Dan quite rightly says, though, we're probably not yet at the stage where we really need to be risking players if they're not 100% fit. But if Ethan Ryan is fit and ready to go, Graham, does he get a starting spot for you?
For me, I think he does. He was playing well before he got the unfortunate injury against Wigan, the last few minutes of that particular game. I think he looked solid at the back for us and had a few people questioning about our decision to not offer him a contract at that particular time. I think he was impressing quite a few people who potentially written him off in terms of being in a red and white jersey for this season. So, yeah, I'd like to see him If he is fit and available, I'd like to see him being given the opportunity again, hopefully to return to the sort of form he was in pre-injury. And I guess at the time we saw the injury and reading the sort of fallout from it, I don't think there were too many people who anticipated seeing him in a red and white jersey this season, or certainly this quickly after that. So, yeah, it could be a welcome boost in terms of a fresh pair of legs to the squad. Like you say, two positions available potentially for three should provide that, you know, that competition between those three players to hopefully challenge each other to say, look, I want that jersey, and when I get it, I want to keep it. So hopefully it provides a bit of healthy competition if they are all fit and available. But yeah, definitely great to see Ethan Ryan back. And if he is moving on at the end of the season, like suggested, possibly to Salford, then let him, you know, let's have a good season, you know, good end of season for him, because I think he can still add a lot of quality to what we do.
Yeah, Dan, one player I failed to mention there as well is Corey Hall could come back into the reckoning. So potentially you've got four players vying for two positions. What would you like to see happen on Sunday?
If he's fit, even Ryan at fullback, I think start of the season, he was obviously our first choice winger. I thought he had a poor start to the season, shooting out the line and all that. He quite enjoyed doing that, didn't he? And I think it cost us the game against Leeds, didn't it, at home? But as soon as he made that switch to fullback, been outstanding, hadn't he? And you sort of think maybe this is his position. I think he did have a good spell at fullback for Bradford, didn't he? I think that was one of his main positions when he was at Bradford. On the wing, it's a difficult one, isn't it? And I do like Corey Hall, but the wing isn't his position. We found that. Was it against Wigan? Where he was just getting caught out, wasn't he? And it's not his position. I think he's a centre. That's his position. At the present, we've got Kenny Dowell and Opacic. You can't replace them. He'll have his time. Will Corey Hall? What? He will have his time. He's got a future. I think you're probably going to have to go with senior, aren't you? And just hope his defence shows up a bit.
Yeah, because his previous outing, he showed up with plenty of metres made, two tries. He did make a couple of errors, though, didn't he? That led to two scores. And then you've got Jack Walker, who can also play on the right wing, but it'd be a big ask for him to come in, I suppose. And, you know, we've only seen a very very brief glimpse of what he can do at fullback against Catalan. So there is going to be some interesting choices there. And I do wonder whether we might see Kenny Dowell end back up on that right wing and with Corey Hall coming on the left. There's, you know, a big conundrum there for Willie Peters, because for me, the logical choice would be put senior in there. But we've seen on a number of occasions this season, Willie Peters, Graham, he's not afraid to make some big calls and make calls that not many of us would have predicted.
Yeah, we've seen it, you know, multiple times this season, and probably the one you highlighted there, SKD, no bigger than that one moment when he got shoved out to the right wing. But again, I think if you're looking at the game plan as a whole, and, you know, potentially we've got Adam Swift coming up against him on that side. I know he's, I think
he's touch and go at the moment.
He is. So I think you've got to prepare for something like that, and we know how rapid he is. So you have to have somebody there without an out pace and somebody who can be a solid defender, because Adam Swift, again, is one of those players who's consistent, you know, in what he does. As soon as he gets ball in hand in open field, he's very difficult to stop. So I think you need a good defender in there as well, and somebody who's got, you know, who's got the pace to handle him out there. So I think it's a tricky one. Not convinced that SKD's got the pace to handle that, but certainly got the defensive quality. So, yeah, each one's got their own strengths and weaknesses. And it's going to be up to, you know, Peters and the coaching staff to come up with a match day 17 that he feels is going to give us the right opportunities to deliver the game plan that is going to stick in front of them.
Yeah, and it is a big call, because do you put in a player who can make a recovery tackle, or do you put a player in who can hopefully stop that player getting past him in the first place and doesn't lead to the offload? So it is a really interesting one. I mean, some small rumours at the moment, Dan, that James Batchelor could be back in the squad this week. I mean, that would be a miraculous recovery, because at the time of the injury, people were, you know, Willie Peters himself, I think, was saying that potentially this could be a season ender. He was in a neck brace for a good period of time. That's now off. I don't know whether he's back in training. Obviously, that's key to it.
He has been, John. I think I read last week that he was in training, barring the contact, so he just needed to start get through some of the contact sessions to then be able to be putting his hand up for contention.
So you imagine, Dan, if he's able to do contact sessions this week, I mean, James Batchelor would be a more than welcome addition to the side on Sunday.
No, definitely, yeah. I mean, shows up the second row, doesn't it, with Lynette, and gives that could move Dean Adley to loose forward at that point, guy, and he's more than comfortable there. It goes back to me, it goes back to if he's not 100%, we don't want to be risking him, especially with an injury like that. It's not like a little calf strain, is it? He's had a cone on his head or a neck brace or whatever he's had, and it's quite a serious injury, isn't it? So we don't really want to be risking that, and I'm sure the medical team will be all over that, won't they? He'll have to be past 100% fit to be playing after that. But yeah, that'd be massive, especially because we're going to have to be matching there. They've got some big units, haven't they? That's their game, isn't it? The big units, Satar, Liggy Sow, them sort of players. That's what we've got to be matching them in the middle, haven't we? So yeah. He would be welcome back if we can get him.
Well, whenever you're watching or listening to this, fingers crossed, he is included in the squad announcement. Graham, take out the fact that it is a derby and everything that comes with it. It's an important game, not least because Rovers now find themselves outside the playoff spots. Hull FC are just 2 points behind us in the table. No, sorry, 4 points behind us in the table. A victory for them on Sunday would see them go 2 points behind us. It pushes further away from a playoff spot. It is an important game, isn't it?
Absolutely, for many reasons. And I think you've just touched on there, Jono, is the fact that if we want to get back on track with our top six ambition, this is, you know, the perfect game for us to demonstrate that. And, you know, other teams above us are going to pick up points if we don't win this game. Other teams below us are going to pick up points. So all of a sudden, we're getting further away from one end and nearer the other end. And that, again, then puts an added pressure on having to sort of perform on a really high level against good teams week in, week out to just make the six. So where we can pick up points, we should be. And, yeah, after that performance, as I said a few minutes back, after that performance on Friday, I'm sure every one of those players and coaching staff is looking to right those wrongs from last Friday evening.
Yeah, and Dan, not least the fact because we play the Leeds Rhinos the week after as well. You know, two really important games for us. If Rovers are going to cement a playoff spot, you'd imagine that 4 points out of the next two games is, I wouldn't say vital at this stage, but it's pushing that envelope at the moment because, you know, lose them two games and you find yourself in a very difficult position.
Yeah, it's a 4 points, but it's a 4-pointer in both senses, isn't it? 4 points sends us quite nicely clear in the playoffs because how tight that is. I think Catalans are running away with it, aren't they? But the rest are on 20 points. But if we lose them two games, you've dropped 4 points that were there for the taking. You've got to remember, I know we've got the semi-final coming up, but then after that, it's Cass at home, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's 6 points that are there for the taking, isn't it? These are the games if we're serious about going for it this season, making a good fist of it and making the playoffs, these are the games we need to be winning. We can't be losing to sides around us.
No, it's important, isn't it, Graham, that we've seen it all too often with the Robins that we leave ourselves just too much to do at the back end of the season, chasing points when we've had plenty of opportunity to get points on the board. And these, you know, like Dan alluded to there, these next four games are pretty crucial for where the Robins will end up at the end of the season. This Hull FC side, though, ain't necessarily one that should, you know, hold any fear for the Robins. We saw what we did to them at the start of the season. No doubt this is going to be a very different Tony Smith side what comes to Craven Park on Sunday. Fresh from a very close defeat to the Catalan Dragons. Victory over St Helens, although I will say a very poor St Helens side the game previous. When I look at it, I don't think Hull will win this. I think Rovers would lose it, if you know what I mean. I think the game's there for us to win. If we apply the Willie Peters way of playing that we did so often at the start of the season, I don't think we'll have any problems whatsoever. But a lot of supporters going into this game with a bit of trepidation at what might happen.
Yeah, I think it's derby week. And look, every week, you know, every sort of derby week, it's slow, slow, quick, slow, as in we've had the game on the Friday, last Friday, and then everything was slowed down after that. Then back on it on Monday morning, and we're ramping up the media, ramping up the hype. And then all of a sudden, there'll be that lull before the game and thinking about what could happen and what might happen with the game. Can we win it? And then there's that feeling in the stomach about, I don't know about everybody else, but that you get with derbies and all of that that comes with it. But it's one of them that, as I say, it's so important as an individual game. Taking away the fact that it is a derby, it is so important for other reasons. And we shouldn't sort of get lost in the fact that it's a derby and it's biggest game of the season so far. It's not. For me, it's a game, and Dan alluded to it at the end of the day, there's 2 points on the line, whether it's Hull, Saints, Cass, Wakey were playing, it's still 2 points. You don't get any more points on the league ladder for winning a game. So you've got to approach it in that way, take the occasion out of it and just play the game. But you're right, again, with Hull FC, when we turned them over at their place earlier in the season, that was when we were riding that crest of the wave. We're not now. So how do we show up? They were on the, you know, the bottom end of their lull at that particular point, and you know, for many it was their lowest point for Donkeys. And since then, they've steadily improved and have shown much improved performances with, you know, a lot of the same players there. So it is swings and roundabouts of where we were both at that particular time. Now is the time to find out really where we're at. And I think, like you do, there'll be a much improved Hull FC performance comes to Craven Park on Sunday. And it's, have we got the ability, the endeavour, the attitude, everything that goes with it to overcome that and play the game rather than playing an occasion? And this goes back to our points about Mikey, etc., and all of that. I think we've got to be on it on Sunday. Otherwise, we could come away with 0 points. And then they're catching us from beneath. The other teams are pulling away. And like you say, it makes it more difficult for us to get back on that winning streak. And we could, still get in the top six, but we might expend that much energy doing it. By the time we get into the six, we're gassed and we've got nothing to offer on the back of it. So, yeah, I think it's a really, really important few games that you've highlighted there, where there are definitely points on the board for us to be able to take. We've got to have the right mindset, right attitude, everything that goes with it to be able to maximise that and not leave ourselves chasing our tail to getting that top six in the last half dozen weeks or so.
Dan, what are you expecting on Sunday?
Not the same old FC side what turned up at the KC, that's for sure. We watched them against Catalans on Saturday. And it's a different beast, isn't it? Although Catalans did give them a couple of nice soft tries, didn't they? So I think the scoreline sort of doesn't reflect it. And they were camped on their line for much of the second half. And the commentator said at one point, I don't remember looking left, because Catalans have been camped on their line. But the fact that Catalans didn't run away with it shows that it's not the same defensive crap that they had at the start of the season where they were shipping 60 points every week. We're going to have to be on our game to beat them. And I think the big difference for me with them now is they've got a half-back partnership, aren't they? Clifford and Truman, what works. That's the big difference from at the start of the season where Clifford was just having to run the show and he was going missing, wasn't he? Because he was working with idiots that were absolutely useless and he just wanted to go home, didn't he? But now, it's a different beast. And I think we need to be on our game. I don't think we'll turn up the same performance as Lee. I think, as daft as it sounds, it's a different animal getting up for a derby than it is getting up for a cold, wet Friday night in Lee. If you can't get up for a derby, then we might as well just give up the season now. A derby that, like Graham said, you've got teams above us pulling away, you've got teams below us catching us up, Leeds and all catching us up. It's a must-win game. So, yeah, I think, I don't know, it's a difficult one. I think the bookies have got it right. I think they've given the 4 handicap. Is it Hull have got a 4? We've got a 4 start, sorry. I think the bookies fancy Hull, don't they, at the minute?
Yeah, well, we will see. There's sure to be plenty of fireworks. Pigeon Detectives, Graham, playing out the Robins. It's become a bit of a feature, hasn't it, at Craven Park? That's sure to fire up the East Stand and everybody else there watching the game. Early kickoff on the Sunday, 12 o'clock kickoff. I think Craven Street opens from 10 o'clock. It promises to be a pulsating atmosphere. LFC have finally sorted out their allocation. I never understand why it takes them so long to do that. But that's another thing. But Graham, I mean, the Rovers fans, we've said it plenty of times, can really make the difference on Sunday. And, you know, it is a sellout. And what we need to hear is noise throughout the game, supporting the Robins and trying to get them over the line, because it's another game where we can really influence the result.
Absolutely. We've talked about it a few times when I've been on this season, Jono, around the noise that can be created in and around the ground. And if you're making it very difficult for the opposition to communicate with each other, that's got to be an advantage to us. Absolutely, it must do. And backing the boys 100% like we, you know, we always should do, it's going to be even more important after Friday's result to get behind them, to try and give them that extra boost to get over the line. So yeah, we've got a really important job to play all across the ground on Sunday. Let's make it noisy. Let's make it hostile. Let's make it supportive for the boys, and hopefully it can be that extra, we'll be 19th man now on it with the way the squads are at the minute. So yeah, let's be noisy, let's be loud, let's make it hopefully count towards a much improved performance, but also a positive result on Sunday for the lads.
Yeah, 100%. Let's be the 19th man. And someone who's expected to be an interested spectator on Sunday is Canberra Raiders halfback Brad Schneider, who is signed on loan for the rest of the season by all accounts. Now, it's been reported widely in the media that he's signing for the Robins. It's also been reported that he's expected to be at Craven Park on Sunday, so no doubt he's going to be an interested spectator. He's currently played just one game for the Raiders this season. He was awarded the Peter Mulholland NRL Rookie of the Year award last season on the back of making 11 appearances in the NRL. He's currently playing in the New South Wales Cup. He's played 12 games, 3 tries, 23 goals, 12 try assists. And I caught up with Blake from the Raiders Review with Blake and Pork podcast, mouthful I know, to hear what he made of the signing of Brad Schneider and give us a bit of an insight from a fan's perspective on what Hull Kingston Rovers fans can expect to see from Brad for the remainder of the season.